Time to talk DIY, and it's lovely to have back with us in studio Mr. DIY himself, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants and Paid Project Management. It's a mouthful.
It is, isn't it? Hello, how are you?
Oh, it's lovely to have you back with us, Angelo.
Thank you. It's so nice to see everyone again. I forgot what the studio looks like.
We've missed you. We're talking general DIY questions today, so you can phone in on absolutely any topic, any perplexing situation at home that you need help fixing. Now's your time to call in and get some free advice. It's 021-446-0567. You can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567 or send an SMS to 31567. I'm looking over your shoulder at the visuals of the World Cup being paraded around Pretoria, Angelo, and I'm wondering what the best solution is for keeping the lid on trophies. Have you got any DIY tips?
Prestick.
Okay, thought you might say that. Jokes aside, we've asked Angelo to start with a list of a couple of the most common DIY questions that are thrown his way. We're going to start with those while we wait for your specific questions to come through. And we're going to start with one that might be appropriate given the quite unexpected rainfall that we've had in the last couple of days, which is overflowing gutters.
Yes. No, it's a big problem. Guys, so there's a couple of reasons why it happens. Number one is that you don't keep your gutters clean. Okay. If you've got trees on your property, birds, or even plant life growing in it, you need to get up there at least once every 2 to 3 months and clean it out.
That regularly. Okay.
That's the first thing. Second thing is you need to make sure that there's no broken brackets or that your gutter's not sagging, etc., because then water ponds in specific areas and that just exacerbates the problem because water weighs and it just adds to the problem.
Okay.
Then thirdly, and this is quite interesting, in fact, we are looking at changing our specifications for gutters because our rain is becoming more downpour rather than that long 7-day drizzle.
That's
we used to get.
Interesting.
And so what we're looking at doing is installing bigger gutters and more downpipes so that they can hold the downpour of the rain that comes in almost like a flash flood. And the gutters are too small, so they, and if, especially if something's blocking it up, the outlet, the pipe can't discharge the water quick enough. So it backs up, it fills up, and then it goes in between the roof and the wall. And it can create, not in all cases, but in some cases, it can create quite a lot of damage.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So you actually need to assess whether you've got the right gutters for the climate of the day.
Correct. I believe it's, and I'm busy doing more research, and the research is showing me that we're going more and more to downpour. So it makes sense to be able to catch that downpour rather than have continuous problems on the inside of your house.
Well, there's two elements. One, you want to prevent the build-up and overflow and the problems it causes. Secondly, if you are going to be capturing rainwater, as so many people are doing, it makes sense to have the right tools to capture maximum amount. Okay, so important advice there. So every 2 to 3 months, you should be up there checking it out.
Especially if you have trees on your property that release. I mean, I've seen so many times, a lot of our clients clean their gutters once a month. But during that period, the amount of debris that lands in the gutter is quite astonishing.
Okay, thank you for that. Right, the first SMS is through an anonymous in Gordon's Bay dealing with cracks. How to fix? We have tried everything from opening the crack and adding mesh. The cracks keep coming back. This is a house built on very clayey soil in Gordon's Bay. And I'm talking cracks wide enough to put your fingers through. Any advice there?
Wow. Okay, so that's obviously, if it's wide enough to put your fingers through, it's more than likely a structural crack. So I would suggest that you get a structural engineer in there to have a look at it.
Okay.
They need to, it needs to be a practicing engineer because he'll have to sign his document. So that's the first thing. However, cracks occur for various reasons. The way the developers and contractors build today, they use cement block and then plaster over it. And generally those cracks, because the cement and the block become one, the crack that occurs generally occurs right through the brickwork. So that sort of crack requires a mesh to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then you get these cracks that reoccur, and they reoccur for various reasons. So basically when we're making a plaster mix to fix cracks, because we normally fix cracks by cutting them about 200 wide,
mm-hmm.
we use a latex in the cement, which slows down the drying process and allows the cement to cure harder. If people don't use that, generally the plaster is either too strong, okay, or it the water evaporates too quickly, uh-huh, and the crack just simply reappears. It can reappear a week afterwards. It can reappear a month afterwards, but it will reappear. So there's various reasons why it happens. Movement, you know, there's so many reasons. Well, I have to try and identify what the cause is, because if you don't know what the cause is, you won't know how to remedy the situation.
Okay. So, and the other important thing is just doing the window dressing and fixing not the appearance of the crack is not good enough if you haven't identified.
And I can tell you, any block built in the last 15 years, those cracks generally reoccur because the guys don't stitch them with a mesh.
Okay. Lots to take in there. I hope Anonymous in Gordon's Bay was listening. If you've got any follow-ups, please feel free to send an additional SMS or WhatsApp. Right, on the WhatsApp line, somebody's saying, I have a 3x3 meter Wendy house with corrugated bitumen-type roof that is sagging from the sun and starting to leak. What do you suggest?
A corrugated bitumen roof. So I'm assuming...
Bitumen-y is the word that's used.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it's a corrugated roof sheet and then they've put a bitumen on top of it to make it waterproof.
Possibly.
Okay. That sounds like what it is. I'm assuming it's just sagging.
Sagging and leaking, starting to leak.
Okay. Well, then obviously the bitumen's not working as a waterproofing system. So, and if it's sagging because the roof sheets are old and rotten and rusted through, etc., then it's probably better to replace them. Okay. Just make sure you have those Wendy houses have a couple of battens in that hold the sheets in place. I would inspect the roof sheet to see if it's so from the inside. If you've got bitumen, you won't be able to see it from the outside. Okay. But if it's got rust and it's gone right through, etc. and so forth, then it's more than likely time to replace the roof sheet. You will probably find that the bitumen was placed onto the roof when it was starting to rust or had rusted to a certain point and it gave it an X amount of years, but now it's goodbye.
So you bought yourself some time. Okay. Thanks. Good luck, whoever it was who sent that WhatsApp. We're taking your calls for Angelo on 021-446-0567 and SMSs to 31567. A WhatsApp in on 072-567-1567 from someone wanting to renovate the kitchen, saying there are old Novalon tiles on the floor with a black adhesive. Can I put ceramic tiles on top of the adhesive after we take out the old tiles? And which to do first, floor tiles, wall tiles, or cupboards? That's from John. John, thanks for your WhatsApp.
Remember, I think we've had this discussion before.
We've had the conversation about which one gets done first. But let's deal with the Novalon tile black adhesive issue before we deal with which tiles first.
Okay, Novalon is a type of a vinyl that they stick down. So we busy with a project where they're using Novalon, where they had Novalon and they wanted to put ceramic tiles on. And the answer is categorically no.
Really?
Take it off.
Why? You've got to take...
Yeah, you need to be able to create a proper bond, mm-hmm, okay? And that's difficult with Novalon. Also, the floor is something that you walk on all the time. So it takes a lot of pressure. And if you have any weakness, it's going to show. So my advice to you is take it off.
The tile and the adhesive underneath.
Well, the adhesive is a problem because that's generally bitumen.
Yep.
They used to use bitumen. And bitumen soaks into the cement. So bitumen will, if you don't remove the screed to the layer that the bitumen is, it can bleed through again.
Ooh.
It might not bleed through the ceramic tile, but it could very well bleed through the grouting.
Ah.
So it's best to take the screed off where that's been affected by the bitumen.
Okay.
I don't know of a product off the top of my head that you can lay over bitumen to prevent it from bleeding through, but the chances are stick to the basics and take it down to a fresh new screed.
Okay. And then let's recap the important issue of which tiles get laid first, because I know you've seen so many horror stories of when it was done the wrong way around.
So first of all, lay your tiles before you put your cupboards in, as far as I'm concerned, unless you have a serious budget constraint and you want to save those few square meters, then, you know, you can tile up to the cupboard door, then put your cupboard in. I don't suggest that. I think at the end of the day, you know, you're going to open up your cupboard, you're going to see the bare floor. It's not going to look that great. So tile first. Okay. Then generally I come down with the wall tiles and then we butt on to the floor tile and we put a perimeter joint. Now a perimeter joint would mean where the wall tile meets the floor tile.
Yeah.
We put a little expansion joint of about 8 millimeters. Then at least they can move without creating too much issue. A lot of people sometimes just put they might just put a skirting there as well. And if you are putting the skirting, then you finish your wall tiles just to above the skirting. So it all depends what people do.
This might be a silly question, but what would cause tiles to move?
Well, if the screed is green, in other words, if it hasn't cured properly, if you use the wrong tile adhesive, if there's no expansion, then because even ceramic tiles move to about 2 or 3%. And if they're too close to each other, then they expand and we call them tenting. So what happens is it looks like those old shaped tents. Remember those?
Yes, that have popped up on the edges a little bit. Yeah.
And try and put those back together.
Lesson learned. Okay. So tiles before cupboards, then the wall, then the floor tile with an expansion joint is Angelo's advice. John, good luck to you. On the WhatsApp line, Toby in Tableview, going back to the gutters conversation, the follow-up question from Toby is it worth investing in some form of grid or filter that covers the gutters to keep out big leaves, etc.? Would that help keep gutters cleaner for longer?
There's like a, if you can picture Scotch-Brite, that green scrubbing
the sponges sponge with a little hard mesh abrasive stuff on top. Yeah,
there is something like that in the market. I cannot remember the name, that fits into the gutters. They generally do that. Okay. What I found, though, that is dust and dirt and windblown sand and stuff like that still gets in, Then a lot of the times, seeds and stuff sit on top of it. It does create blockages. So, yes, it can help you for a while, but you're still going to get in there. You're going to need to get in there and clean it. I've seen people put bird netting over gutters.
Yeah.
Okay. Very unsuccessfully.
Really?
Okay. Maybe this particular case because they try to put it on corrugated and left the trough of the corrugated exposed.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was a great job.
It was a mess of a job. Yeah. But I take your point that even if you've got something in place to catch the bigger items, it's probably more damage is probably being done by the dust and the fine stuff that's getting through.
So all that stuff sort of sits there and seeds get through, etc. and so forth, and then they germinate and then you've got them. Then you've got a story.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice. Thank you. Here's a thank you WhatsApp as well from somebody saying, I manage 2 sectional title residential complexes. Thank you for backing up my perception and advice to my trustees about changing rainfall patterns and gutters. I'm going to forward this podcast to them. Someone agrees with you. Angela, thanks so much. And please do. The podcast will be shared on the website and on the app after the show. So you're very welcome to do exactly that. Right. Taking some more of your WhatsApps. We can fit in a call or two if you like. One of the things you wanted to mention as while we were talking sort of common complaints and often overlooked things. Let's go to the sink, the stainless steel sink, Angelo. The one that comes up quite often is getting stains out of stainless steel appliances, correct, full stop. What's your recommendation?
Okay, so stainless steel is actually a great product. I mean, it's so durable and so resilient. It's actually a perfect product for the zinc. Okay. However, there's a couple of things one needs to realize. Number one, detergents and stuff like that have something called chloride in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you put your sponge that you've washed your dishes and you leave it in there, okay, they tend to leave a few marks.
Yeah.
Okay. But also they can carry a lot of bacteria. So once you've washed your dishes, I would suggest that you simply, first of all, rinse every time, just rinse it so that it's, at least then it's clean from all that soapy scum.
Okay.
Maybe once a week, what you can do is take your sponge and with a bit of your sunlight soap, whatever, just wash it out. Or you can use a mixture of baking soda, a baking soda paste.
Okay.
Sorry, not baking soda, bicarbonate of soda.
Okay.
Then another issue, a big issue, is people who use those metal scrubbing pot scrubbers.
Yes.
I can never Goldilocks. That's it. If you leave that and they wet, they create surface rust.
Yep.
Okay. So 1 tablespoon of bicarb of soda in a glass of water And use an old toothbrush. Please don't use your husband or your yeah. And give it a scrub. Otherwise, dampen a towel, paper towel with some vinegar, and let it soak on it for about 5 minutes, and then scrub it with the toothbrush as well. That should remove it. Okay, but basically, those types of stains can be taken off. All those types of stains can be taken off with a mixture of bicarbonate and soda and water. And then a trick that I was told, and guys, I have not tried this, is that if you want to buff it up, take a little bit of olive oil on a cloth.
Trust the Italian to recommend olive oil.
and rub it up and buff it, and it brings the sheen back.
So I haven't heard that before.
No,
okay.
Neither had I. So I don't quite know. How it logically, I'm struggling with the logic a bit, because you're putting an oil onto stainless steel, but apparently it works. Okay. So it obviously needs quite a lot of buffing.
Yeah, a bit of elbow grease thrown into the mix as well. Okay, but that's great advice about, so is it 1 tablespoon of bicarb in a glass of water for that surface rust, and scrub it with an old toothbrush?
Yes.
Or soak a paper towel in vinegar.
Or someone you don't like. Okay. Toothbrush.
We're not going to recommend that, Angela. You didn't hear that.
I'm only kidding.
Thank you, Jenny, for your follow-up on the issue of the bituminous resin and adhesive. Jenny says, I used silver or aluminium paint over the bitumen and then laid cork tiles on top, and there was no leakage of the bitumen, and this was a long time ago. So that's okay.
Yeah, bituminous aluminium is a product that that you paint over. It's a silver type product, but it's got a black bitumous lace, and it separates when you paint it. And then you can, once it's cured, you can lay over it. Okay, but these things, those are items specifically made to not allow that that bitumen to bleed through the top.
Yeah.
But when it's got porous stuff like cement, and you're laying tile adhesive, can, that bitumen can bleed through plaster and tile adhesive.
Which is why you mentioned the grout.
Correct.
Particular.
So that's why I'm saying, yes, silver coat does work on torch-on or bituminous products, but that's generally the finish. And if it's been for a while, then it could work.
Okay. Just like that, we are out of time. Angela, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Already?
The time has flown, as it always does. Angela D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants and Paint Project Management. We hope you'll be back with us at the beginning of December. If not then certainly in the new year.
Sure. I'm going to try my best.
Okay. And a reminder that you're always welcome. If you have got a DIY challenge and you'd like to get Angela's input, just pop an email to me on pepperh@capetalk.co.za.